Good morning. I'm Vincent from the Shanghai office of Simpson Howard. Well, I'm in Shanghai. Chris is here, so we thought it'd be good to combine the force and provide a strong team to provide services and assistance to you in relation to leasing and other matters in China. I think the conference is very well organized and in 1 hour or so time, we were introduced on the legal side. And next speaker will discuss the commercial side, and followed by a panel, which you will see more Chinese faces on the stage from different leasing banks. Chris has introduced in relation to this general structure of leasing and also a few points from the lessee's perspective. So I'm going to touch upon the points from the lessor's perspective, from the companies in China, the leasing companies' perspective, and also the new trend. Discuss a few recent transactions that I see. Well, of course, as Chris mentioned, in a typical finance lease transaction, it is like a bilateral loan. So in the sense that from lessor's perspective, they want to do the proper financial and risk analysis that from lender's perspective. And following that, of course, they would do a term sheet, just like in other bilateral transactions. Following that, of course, it will be for the legal counsels to document the transactions, advice on transactional and also legal risks. One of the common risks we are asked to advise on is like sanctions. For example, how to manage the ship's operations and how to mitigate the issues maybe arising out of the sanctioned cargoes and countries, etc. And of course, the security package for a lease transaction, although they are very different in terms of terminology as from a bank loan, but in essence, they are the same. So it is the same security package as of under a loan transaction as under a lease transaction. Sometimes, of course, because of the lessor is in between, they lend in money and be the legal registered owner of the ships, of the assets, they will refinance the assets under their title. So it is very often that they will borrow individually or as a package, as asset portfolio from their lender. If that happens, of course, there are another set of securities to be provided. And lessor in that circumstances will become the borrower instead of a lender under the lease structures. And sometimes, if the back finance or refinance is not yet in place at the same time of the lease transaction is concluded, or it may take some time. It is often advised, we were as legal counsel, for them to enter into a mortgage over the vessel in favor of the lessor's parent company or intermediate parent company. This is like a defensive mechanism to help them to mitigate loss and risks in association with navigation and also operation of the ship. And from lenders, well, from lessor's perspective, of course, there's always two major aspects they're looking at. One is the assets, and the other is cash flow. So when they're looking to assets, of course, type of ship, the age of the ship, the price of the ship, and who were the ship owner before, blah, blah, blah. And in addition to that, of course, insurance is a very important part. In terms of the cash flow, of course, whether there is a charter, or alternatively, whether there is a COA, or alternatively, whether the vessel is in the pool, which has a trading record, which has a reference benchmark that you can look at, how much generally they can revenue generate from, you know, from operation of a fleet and divided by the pooling points to the individual vessels, etc. And in addition to that, of course, if there's a long-term charter, the lessor would like to get involved and they would like to ask for a stepping right, as Chris mentioned earlier. And one thing would in common that if any of you are finance with Chinese leasing company and they leasing company will refinance, then there is a big argument between the under the leasing document and under the bank loan documents, because these documents need to be matched, and there may be chance that the lenders at the end, the banks, they may have certain required provisions or requirement restrictions, and these will be passed on to the lessor and pass on to the lessee. So, I mean, we were instructed involved in many of the transactions that whereby we have to make sure that the terms are matched, and in the end there will be I think time running out actually. I think this is very important to match the terms. Of course, security will be also to pass down to lenders behind. So I'm going to talk very briefly of the new recent transactions I'm involved. One is I put it on the subject of data and equity. It means that in the recent transactions, in fact, the leasing companies, they come up with data finance. And in addition to that, they also come up with equity. It's all under the lease structure. But the risk and benefits in relation to the money has been divided into two parts. One is the traditional debt finance part. The other is actually called kind of equity part. In that part, in relation to that part, the lessor's rights is pari passu to the earners, which means that the vessel will be running and generating profits, and the profits will be divided by those equities coming from both the lessor and the lessee. So it's like commercial arrangements, but it may enable the lessors to get more, but in a sense assume more risks in that transaction. But these are very rare, not so often, so don't be too excited. It applies to the assets which has a very liquidity market, and also sometimes often as second-hand and some older ships which can mean that very low market value instead of the high value ones. And the other things, of course, is operational lease. I think Chris has discussed the difference between finance and operational lease. Operational lease means that the residual value risk is not with the charterers, with the operators anymore. It's with the lessor, the leasing company. And in the recent months actually, and last year as well, some of the leading Chinese leasing companies, they entered big ticket transactions. They ordered the ship and they charter out to cargo interest, and they are the real ship owner. And the transaction is entered on the basis of operational lease. So the ship belongs to the leasing company from the beginning of the charter and to the end of the charter, and that's it. So there's no obligation on the charter side, on the lessee side, to purchase the vessel at the end. So this is quite interesting. And to give you more flavor of that, some of the transactions were entered into on a bareboat charter basis. So the operational matter and maintenance still with the lessee. But in the recent transactions, the transaction entered into on time charter basis. So the leasing company become a real ship owner, a tonnage provider. So lessee is basically providing the commercial management in a way. So this is quite new, and I can see this is a trend for the leasing companies. I see some big tickets transaction already. So moving forward, of course, I think I was here many years ago. I'm two Chinese person. Now you see many Chinese person here, and the leasing companies here, and they finance a big percentage of the global shipping finance. So I think become more established and more sophisticated. So they're going to be a phase of consolidation because there are secondary transactions existing portfolio already. Last word is that, again, we are joint force. So we are a big law firm, and we want to put our people together to provide a good service. Second point is that Chinese market is very exciting. And I borrow one sentence from a book called Doing Business in China. There's three ben. One is you need a capital, which is ben qian, and the other is you need to improve skill, which is ben shi. And certainly, you need to be there, which is ben ren. Thank you so much.